Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today, I am really delighted to welcome to the show a friend of mine, Matt Clark of Tweet Pages. Matt says, by maximizing your online presence in social media marketing with a custom Twitter background, you increase your followers and you stand out from your competitors. But he didn't stop there, and we'll talk about that. So Matt is going to share his story about how Tweet Pages was founded and what his inspiration was and kind of the steps that he took to get where he is now, and how Tweet Pages has grown from offering simple but really beautifully effective Twitter backgrounds to now completing complete social media branding packages, which help you maximize your business and your personal branding. So good morning, Matt. Thank you for being here.
Well, hello, Denise. Thank you very much for still allowing me to come on, even though I know I've attempted this several times and I've had to cancel. Not because I'm anybody important, that's by any means, just because I'm a lughead sometimes. So I really appreciate you still connecting with us and allowing us to jump on the radio with you. So I'm excited.
No, I wasn't allowing you. I drug you. It's like, come
on. That's true.
We both have just our schedules, for those of us who are listening to us now and in the future. Our schedules are just, they're moving targets. I mean, we are constantly on the go. We're constantly taking on new clients and customers and growing our businesses and helping other people grow their businesses. So we just make it work when it'll work. And thank you so much for being here this morning. So I want to kind of jump right into Tweet Pages because you do some really remarkable work over there. So what is tweetpages.com? Why do people need to go to tweetpages.com? And how will it help them?
Absolutely. Well, obviously, like you said, we create social media designs and creating background designs for Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, ultimately helping people brand either you or your business, your product or service online. And, of course, we know that it's completely rampant nowadays with social media. And more we see it on TV, we hear it on the radio. You walk into a mall, you walk into a local restaurant, and they're advertising their Twitter, Facebook, and those kind of things. So it's huge right now. And ultimately, we kind of jumped in a little bit, kind of before some of this came up. And so we kind of learned some things along the way and have perfected some things in order to be able to provide really great, number one, really great designs, and then number two, optimize for each social network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you started with Twitter Pages. In fact, that's how I met you, because I ordered one of your Twitter Pages.
Yes.
For one of my clients. I was actually building them myself. And then I saw what you did, and I went, well, why should I reinvent the horse? He can do it. reinvent the whatever it is. What would it be?
It would be reinventing the wheel.
The wheel.
Or the horse. But we could reinvent the horse, too. That would be
an email that had a horse in it, and I just went brain function. So I'm shutting down my email client, and I'm concentrating on you right now.
That's why I like talking to you.
We
create
so
new
well.
Phrases for the world.
God, I think I'm going to delete this show. So anyway, we may not let this one go out on the airwaves. But what happened was, I found Tweet Pages somewhere, probably on Facebook. I know where I did. You had done one for my very favorite entrepreneur, Joel Kahn. And that got my attention because I'm a huge fan of his. I read all of his stuff. I've been following him around for a very long time. So, I followed his link and I went over to see what you were doing, and I loved your work. And then it's just kind of progressed from there to the social media marketing. I know you now do packages with YouTube and Facebook. And do you do LinkedIn yet?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry?
Do you do LinkedIn yet? Are you doing anything? Or
well, LinkedIn just doesn't have anything available for it. We've, you know, in the midst of trying to get all this, you know, figured out and going through, you know, Twitter to YouTube to Facebook, when I investigated LinkedIn, there are very tiny graphics that allow you to do something with, but ultimately it doesn't help brand you yet, ultimately, mm-hmm. because they're just so small. So hopefully there may be some real estate space on LinkedIn in the future that we can be a part of, but ultimately right now it doesn't seem like a great retail space for us at this point.
Right.
But and we have that question quite frequently, and some other social media places as well, because I would say those out of all of them, those four, for different purposes, are the ones that most people communicate and talk to us about, mm-hmm. which are, you know, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And, mm-hmm. of course, we only started doing initially Twitter backgrounds mm-hmm. in the very beginning until we connected with someone who needed, actually, Maria Andros, and she needed YouTube backgrounds. And she said, well, I'm send you our clients. And so we kind of said, sure, we'll do it. And I got off the phone and went and scrambled and thought, how do I do YouTube backgrounds? So mm-hmm. I investigated and figured out what to do and where to place the graphics and how it worked and how it was laid out, and ultimately, you know, landed on being able to add to our repertoire of designs.
Right.
And so to the YouTube.
So you met your
well.
Market's needs. You listened to your market and responded.
Right. Well, and ultimately, a lot of times we would just kind of go, sure, we can do that. And then I'd go run and figure out how to do it.
Right. We've had some of those conversations, too.
Yes.
So one of the things that I really have, you know, kind of enjoyed watching as you go is that, I mean, your graphics are just incredible. So let's do a little bit of name dropping. I know I wanted to ask you that later on in the show, but let's do a little bit of name dropping so people can get an idea of who is using this type of service and why they're using it. Joel Kalm is certainly somebody. You have a
right.
lot of fairly well-known names that are not necessarily internet marketers. Joel Kalm, of course, is an internet marketer. But explain
well,
to
we
people
had,
why they
and
need
Joel,
to brand themselves.
Yeah, and Joel ultimately, Joel Kalm, and I've got several of his books now, and can't get enough of them in reading those, and it's helped even shape what we're doing to this in our business and stuff.
Right.
But Joel, initially contacted us and said, you know, like your designs, and let's connect. And the power of social media was unveiled to me within the interaction of Joel Kalm, because he ended up cut me off when you need to, Denise.
I want you to share this story because
okay.
this is
he ended up
story.
Contacting us and saying, "I'd love to learn more about you guys." And I had known about Joel through just seeing other people tweet about him, but I didn't really know him. So I kind of knew that he must have been somebody big, because at that point I think he had 40,000 followers. So I thought, well, that's more than my 85 that I have at that time. So I thought, he must be somebody big. I don't know what he does or what, you know. So I kind of investigated a little bit, but ultimately I wanted to find out a little bit more about him. And so I sent him a video just to say, hey, yeah, Joel, love to connect with you. And his assistant called the next day and said, Joel's out of town, sorry. He can't connect with you. He wanted to, but he had to run to a speaking engagement. So I said, sure, no problem. And he said, we wanted to connect and get some information from you, et cetera, et cetera. So we exchanged information. And then the next day, I start seeing these tweets that said, Joel Kalm recommends tweet pages. And I thought, wow, where is that coming from? What ended up happening is he was at the NSA speaking, mm-hmm. National Speakers Association, I believe in Vegas, and he was talking about tweet pages in front of a group of people. And I don't know, somebody said it was about 500 people, and he had our website up or was talking about us. And so people at the conference obviously started tweeting about us. So I see it in real time. and
oh, yeah,
and kind of understood how this worked. I'm like, wow, this is now, and this is what's happening. And so, of course, through Twitter, you can find out a whole lot by tracking what people are saying, who's saying it, going over to their Twitter, finding out they're at a conference. Oh, now I know what's going on. And then the funny part was later I got a call from one of our clients, Jacqueline. She's an etiquette expert, and she said, Matt, you wouldn't believe this. I was at this conference in Vegas, and Joel Kahn started talking about you. And she said, and I stood up in the middle of the conference and said, I've used Matt Clark. He was really great. It was a great experience. Loved this work. And then 3 days later, once I finally did get to talk to Joel, he said, yeah, and this, I was talking in the middle. This woman stood up and started talking about you. So it was fascinating to see all this unfold within a matter of, you know, literally minutes as the tweets were coming across, but of days that this conference had occurred. So it showed me the power of social media and what can happen a little bit, right. You know, and we've seen more of that as we've gone on. But ultimately, that was really fun. So we really appreciate that. And, you know, it was great that Joel ended up putting us in his book and Twitter Power 2.0, which is a mm-hmm. great book. If you're looking to, you know, find out about Twitter and dig deep and how to utilize the tool itself. So that's a great piece there to be able to utilize. But, yeah, so it was a neat little interaction that we had. And since then, we've been able to do some designs for him as well.
Right. Well, one of the things that I want to really kind of stress here is that this is not the kind of activity that you can purchase. You can't go to a marketing agency and say, this is what I want to happen. This just happens. And as you said, it happens in real time. When you connect with
absolutely.
Somebody,
and that can be good or bad, obviously. We've seen the results. If you followed any updates on Twitter and then in the news, some people communicate the wrong things and their jobs are in jeopardy and those kind of things. So ultimately, Twitter can be a blessing or a curse to some degree as well. But for us, I think, in managing it and taking a look at what it can do, especially for businesses. And we have a range of businesses that from entrepreneurs, we have a lot of launching entrepreneurs to some corporate, to some publishing houses, to magazine subscription companies. It's just amazing to see the variety that we've been receiving, especially lately, that are jumping on to social media. I think they understand that it's valuable. I think people sometimes are confused on how to utilize the tools of Twitter, YouTube, or Facebook and how they can use it within their respective industry. And we get a lot of calls like that. We get a lot of people who say, this is what I want to do, and they think they know what they're doing or want to do, but ultimately they may be using the tools a little bit incorrectly. And so we kind of help with that as well in educating. And the only reason why we know that, not because I'm a social media guru or expert by any means, but ultimately, as I've been doing this for 2 years, I figured it out. I went, ooh, okay, here's how to use these tools the correct way through Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and, you know, social media as a whole. And so, and ultimately, I haven't jumped into this, but ultimately, I come out of print design initially. Well, initially, I come out of ministry, and between ministry jobs, I had always dabbled in the creative world. And so I ended up at a Kinko's doing desktop publishing and between ministry jobs, and my wife was teaching. And I came home one day, and I said, honey, I want to quit and start my own design business. And this was back in 95. So in 1996, I quit my job and started imagedesigns.com, which is mainly the main business that I've had for this many years, doing branding and logo design from vehicle wraps, direct mail, billboard designs, you name it. If it's something physical, we probably have designed for it at some point. So what happened along the way, of course, I ended up back in ministry, and that wasn't my design business, kind of sat on the side a little bit, and I still had some clients. But in 2003, relaunched Image Designs, and we were doing a lot of contracting. So we would get do a church or organization or business for an entire year, and we would get paid monthly. So we, at that point, we were like, "Wow, this is really great. We're trucking along here. Business was growing. We had a lot of clients and we had contacts, and we were starting to get. We were on the verge of grabbing two or three more contracts. And 2007, 2008 economy just took it all away. Ultimately, in 2007, we lost our first contract. And then we were down, ultimately I was down to one contract left. And I even knew, got the hint that that was going to be disappearing in about 7-8 months. So my buddy had told me about Twitter and said, "Matt, you got to check this thing out. Maybe it'll help you get some business." Buddy Phil Ayers. So I said, all right. So I jumped on there and started tweeting in hopes to drum up some business for Image Designs, when the reality was I started to figure out some things about Twitter, started looking around, and thought, I can put a background on here. Cool, I can load a JPEG. So I made this, you know, silly picture of myself and this weird design and popped it on there. And it didn't even fit to the right resolutions at that time. I had no idea what it, you know, needed to look like. But ultimately, I put something up. And another buddy, Steve Lacey, contacted me about his nonprofit organization and said, "Hey, Matt, I like what you did. Could you make me a background for our nonprofit organization and put your logo on it?" I said, "Sure, I'll, you know, it's kind of a freebie for a buddy. Sure, I'll do that." So I put my logo on, and it said, you know, made by Image Designs. And then we had David Damore, he's at Admore, contact us, DM me, and said, "Hey, saw your background, and how much are they?" And I thought, "What? What do you mean, how much are they? You can make money off of this?
This is how business starts, so pay attention. If you have an idea, people ask you about it, and all of a sudden you have a new little job or business or industry going on. So this is how it happens."
This was April of 2008 that I jumped on Twitter. Now, that time frame was, you know, I wasn't an early adopter by any means. I can't claim that, because Twitter had been already in existence and lots of people were on it. But it was not getting the play that it's getting now on commercials and TV and you walk into the mall and restaurants and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, really? And that kind of just really set me in motion thinking, I'm on my last contract. I got about 7 months left. And I was in the midst of trying to get more and, you know, regain what we had lost. But ultimately, it was just kind of shutting down, as for everybody. I mean, the economy just took a flying leap for lots of people. So I said, well, I gotta buckle down and figure this out. So it took me about 5 months, and in October of 2008, we launched TweetPages.com. And initially, here's my great idea. Initially, I thought that there was like, I don't know, 6 or 8 million people they said were on Twitter at that time. I don't even remember the exact number, but all I remember is I'm going to create really cool backgrounds, generic backgrounds that anybody can buy and put on their Twitter account, and I'm going to sell them for 99 cents, the iTunes concept.
You still do that, yes?
And we do. We have those available. Yeah. And I'm just going to sell to 1 million people. you know, I'm going to make my millions, because we had always done custom work in Image Designs.
Right.
Everything was custom work, custom logos, custom. So I was like, oh, I'd like to get away from that a little bit and just kind of click and, you know, let people buy all this stuff. And I just sit back and create backgrounds and they'd buy. And, you know, that was my concept. The reality was people needed and desired custom work. They wanted to separate themselves. So while we still have those 99-cent backgrounds on there, ultimately people are looking for custom backgrounds. And what was the ironic thing is, as I was still in the design field, my print design world was, you know, going downhill a little bit, and my virtual world on the web was rising. And the reason is because budgets were being cut, businesses were saving money. They didn't want to do direct mail cards. They didn't want to do billboards. But ultimately, people were getting laid off. People were losing jobs, and entrepreneurs were on the rise. And so they came to us and said, I need to start a business. I need you to get my social media designs together. So it was this really weird catch-22 that one was kind of going down, but the other one was rising, ultimately because of the same thing, the economy going down, you know, in the slumps a little bit. So it was this truly a neat time, very scary, and we lost, you know, two-thirds of our income, and we were trying to figure it out just like everybody. Everybody was in the same boat. But ultimately, we kept on and thought, let's keep trucking along. And then we were approached by someone, Maria Andros, and she was putting together some things on YouTube. And she said, could you do a matching YouTube design? Sure. And that's when we started that. And ultimately, I just started playing around on my own personal Facebook and said, you know, I wonder if we can. And we, you know, again, I played with the design, where it fits, and came up with some areas that we can ultimately help brand on Facebook. And then with kind of the unloading of fan kits and fan pages, that has taken the next step even more further. So we now just started offering the fan kit where people can we can do Twitter, YouTube, and then the fan kit piece. It's a little bit more work, but ultimately it allows welcome videos and opt-in social media links, clickable links to your website, newsletter subscriptions, those kind of things that people can put on there. So it's a valuable piece to help, you know, brand your business. And ultimately, you know, branding is consistency in branding is the key.
Right. And as for the fan pages, something that you know, one of the most valuable things that you mentioned a whole playlist of things that are there, but that is the value. The value is that people can find you. They can reach you. They can opt into your newsletter. They can click on an email and reach you. You have to make it easy for people to get to you. If they don't, they're going to go on to your competitor. It's just that simple.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And we, on a regular basis, see the value in, you know, gaining more fans and having people communicate and interact with us. And it's about, you know, the day of the big corporate giant has changed to some degree, and now here's the catch. All of us, maybe little entrepreneurs sprinkled around and new businesses that are starting, are in lineup to replace them. And the key is for us to be careful that we don't climb the ladder and take their place. Okay, and that we make changes in our own business practices, whether that's integrity, character, you know, better business practices, making sure that relationships stay in play. Now, as we're smaller entrepreneurs, because ultimately, you know, we will become the big ones later. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's key to start thinking a little bit differently now, so that we can change what it looks like, the face of corporate world and what it kind of looks like in the future.
I think that what people need to really understand is that, you know, the world has gone through changes. You know, we were the Iron Age, Industrial Age, the Agrarian Age, the Information Age, which to my mind to some degree has passed. And we are now more in what I call the Relationship Age.
Right.
You know, people want to know you. They want to like you. They want to trust you if they're going to do business with you.
Right. Well, I like to consider it
doing all of these things, these brand, you know, branding and making sure that you are accessible and that people can find your website and your newsletter and, you know, an email address for you. That's how you kind of stay out in front of other people.
Absolutely. And I would probably like to refer it as the tweet page age, but that's me personally. Tweet page age.
Okay, I get that.
Well, and here's a good. We have on our Facebook fan kit the little sidebar that has some links. Now, what I did is I hooked up those links to our website so people can see. They click on it and it will take them. The button one button says Twitter samples, one says YouTube samples, Facebook samples. I think our pricing and then our story. Well, in the background, I connected those with Bitly, which, as most people know, Bitly allows you to track the URL and see how many clicks and those kind of things. So I wanted to track who was clicking on what. the most clicks we've had is our story. Because people want to know about you. They want to know about your business and who you are. And we know this, and there's tons of books about this, but ultimately they want to know that they can trust you before they do business with you.
Right.
And it was unanimous that that button was the one that was the most clicked because they want to know who we are. So that was, unless it was all my friends that were just playing tricks on me and clicking it like five times, that could be so.
Or it was you. I would do that too. No,
yeah,
no,
you did it. You've been about 10 times.
It was me.
Ha.
It was me.
No,
you're absolutely right, because people do want to know who you are. They want to know your story. I mean, to just, you know, give this a little bit more emphasis, my business, both of my businesses, I'm a web developer and I'm a virtual assistant, are virtual.
Right.
I work quite literally on the Internet. I don't have an office away from my home. My staff, if you want to call them staff, I have 23 people that work with me, all work from their homes. We all work literally on the Internet. And we
right.
all know one another on the Internet. I've reached the point where both of my businesses are 100% referral-based.
Right.
Because of that know, like, and trust factor, you know, people see me, you know, putting up, you know, images of a website that I just did. I mean, I get referrals from people I've never actually met, but I'm aware of them on Facebook or on Twitter, but they've seen my work, they've seen other people chat about it, and they are willing to say, hey, talk with Denise Griffith. She kind of knows what she's doing. And I know
right,
that happens
right.
with you as well. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
I picked
yeah,
you up because of Joel Kalm. I trust Joel Kalm's judgment. And I went straight over and looked at your stuff and went, works for me.
Yeah, good thing he's a nice guy, isn't it? Cause
yes.
It would have been bad for us if it had been the other way. Thanks,
yeah.
Joel. And that's what the people are looking for, especially nowadays because of probably what we've, you know, the scars that we've experienced through the past. And we say, we're a little bit guarded, you know, and for some good reasons and some not maybe, but mm-hmm. ultimately we want to be able to say, hey, I want to build a relationship with you and your business and what you're producing and your product, and know that it's real. And ultimately that's why we try and put our face, or my face, in front of tweet pages a lot because I want to let you know I'm real, I'm human. This is Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing your designs. I'm right here working out of my garoffice, which is the office in a garage.
Your garoffice?
You know, the garoffice. And we built out a studio here. So that helps people understand that because, you know, it's scary to – it used to be a lot more. Now it's a lot easier, but it was originally very scary to order anything online. Is it really going to come? Did they just take my credit card number?
Yeah.
You know, all those kind of things. So the more you can put a face to that helps people with that uneasiness, for sure.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, and we've covered this to some degree, but you had an idea, you acted on it, and then people started coming to you, you know, with more ideas, and you responded to the market. Did you have any doubts, or did you just go for it?
Well, once I saw, you know, it was kind of like, once I saw the money come in, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot. It didn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
It just needed to work. And I just saw, I happened across somebody had tweeted or Facebooked or something, Tony Robbins interviewing or hanging out with Frank Kern, I think. And I saw this interview, and it was and they were talking about, you know, a certain amount of money that they had made. And it actually triggered with me. And sometimes I go, well, I don't always want to go with the status quo on following all those guys. But ultimately, they were correct in some of the things they were saying. That's how they got to where they are. And it was about that first kind of cash in. It was like, wow, this really worked. I took a chance a little bit, and I thought, it was a good feeling. Let me see if I can perfect it, make it a little bit better. And that's when we started to investigate really about the multiple resolutions, because everybody's screen monitor size is different. So we have to
mm-hmm.
design to the minimum and maximum with our Twitter designs. Most designers out there, not all of them, most of them design just to the 1280 resolution. And so what we ended up doing is we designed to the minimum and maximum, and 1280 is one of them because we take the standard resolutions. So people get to see what their design looks like within multiple resolutions when we do our video proofing. So it was scary at first, but ultimately a great feeling that we can accomplish this, and we just started to perfect it, hone in on better design. And like I said, ultimately, initially, it was all about making some generic backgrounds, but then when we saw that customization, which was, you know, I thought, oh, no, I have to do more custom. But ultimately, coming from image designs and that part of it and working in branding, at least I knew what I was doing. And what I realized is there's a lot of people out there that don't know about branding as a whole and its value and what you can do with that. And so it's been a really neat experience to help communicate and potentially educate people on what branding is and how you can do that and having a consistent look and those kind of things. So that was huge, you know, for me at least.
I know one of the things that I see, even with entrepreneurs that I kind of honestly think should know better, I think what they've done is they've grown so much that they haven't really kept track of their growth. And you'll type in, and I'm going to say Jack Canfield, although he is not one of the people I'm discussing, but everybody knows who Jack Canfield is, Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Right.
And, you know, you can type in a name of any large type of entrepreneur that you're aware of, and some of the people who have been around for a while, they're all over the map. I mean, they've got a website over here that's got maroons on it, and they've got another website over here that might be green, and the headshots are not consistent, and the message is not consistent. And it does get confusing. And to me, because I'm a recovering workaholic, and I'm a recovering perfectionist, I think. But for me, try. But for me, being the perfectionist that I am, when I see these things, I just kind of flinch. It's like, oh, geez.
Right.
And I admit I'm guilty of it, too. I'm having to go back because my portfolio now is so large. I'm having to go back and kind of clean up my own work. So I include myself in that group of, you know, people that need to go back and get their branding a little bit straight. But it really is important that you have your branding intact and that it just makes sense all the way across the internet, because, you know, you may have 20 websites and all of them are different and all the headshots are different and all of the, you know, fonts are different. It can get very confusing and messy.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a huge question that we get on and sometimes people come to us because they have multiple sites. Mm-hmm. And branding, and I'm going to potentially shoot myself in the foot a little bit here. You ready, Denise? Branding is more about consistency than a really great design logo. Now,
I agree.
Here's the deal. Here's why. I'm going to say why. Because, and we do logos, and we do really good logos, but ultimately consistency in communicating your content is probably more important, and here's why. It's kind of like this, and we've all seen them in any town. Watch TV, and there's and I'm going to pick on some people, but ultimately it's not about just them, the used car salesman or the furniture guy. And they're on the commercial, and they've got a cowboy hat or a big blow-up gorilla behind them, or they're saying, come on down to the Ferris wheel, or whatever it may be. And you're going, oh, my goodness, this guy, he's yelling or whatever. And, again, I don't mean to pick on used car salesmen or furniture guys. There's a plethora of them, okay? But ultimately, you see them on the commercial, and when you're out and about, if you pass by the business, you say their phrase, whatever that may be. And if you're with your friends, you make fun of it. Well, here's the deal. They have consistently branded themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's really bad identity, but ultimately they have consistently branded themselves, and we all see it on a regular basis on TV. The goal is to marry that consistency with really great design. So now you've gone above that. And so what we do is try and produce a really great logo or a really great identity or whatever it may be, and then marry that with consistency throughout social media, throughout your print material. And that doesn't mean cookie-cutter exact design, okay? And that's what – it's either one of two ways it happens on the Internet. Either they're all over the place, or they take the same graphic and they put it on everything, every CD, every book cover, every corner of the website is the same exact thing, and it's plastered everywhere. But here's the deal. It's, you know, if Target had the same ad every time, you'd get pretty bored, number one, but ultimately they don't. They have variables, they have variances, and sometimes it's dealing with the logo, sometimes it's their color, sometimes it's the swish or the circle or whatever it may be for certain companies of the identity, the elements in their identity that they can just subtly put. Sometimes it's just
But the
music.
Identity is still easily recognizable.
Absolutely. And you know it's them. And it's not necessarily the same exact picture-perfect look every, you know, on TV and then in the print ad and then when you go there and then on their social media sites. But ultimately you know because they have their identity pieces flowing together to work. And again, that could be music. I mean, I know sometimes when the TV's on in the background, sometimes when a Target commercial comes on, because I hear that music, and I just, you know, it's that poppy fun kind of feel. It's got to be Target, or you know, Coca-Cola, or whatever it may be. And I'm picking on the big guys. Obviously, they're real easy to identify, but that's why, because they've practiced and they've implemented it so that it's consistent.
Right.
And that's the key, and that's what is not
going
happening.
Back to. Right, and going back to Joel Kamm, I've noticed that he changes up his stuff all the time. I mean, you're constantly working on designs for him, but they still are recognizable because he tends to stick with the same colors. His photo
right.
may change, but he
well,
tends,
and a lot
know
of
that
people
there's elements that don't change in it, and I, you
right.
know, he's smart. He changes that stuff up all the time, without really ruining his brand.
Right, and that's where the variables and of identity come into play. And even so, here you know, and this is the tough part for people to understand. I'll use myself as an example, if I may.
Sure.
And I haven't got it all perfected.
It's your
in
show.
Some area. Well, ultimately, if you were to look up tweetpages.com and imagedesigns.com, you're going to see two different looks, right? And but when I'm communicating that particular business area, it's got its own brand and identity. But whatever is communicated from those, it's going to be consistent. Now, if you were to look up Matt Clark, you'd see, you know, a variety. Well, I probably wouldn't show up ultimately because there's lots of Matt Clarks out there. But you would see kind of all over the place. But ultimately, what happens is, really got all this stuff together because I'm so busy, but ultimately we'll have a landing place for Matt Clark. And it eventually will be thinkmattclark.com. Need something creative? Think Matt Clark. Need somebody to communicate? Think Matt Clark. Need somebody to connect? Think Matt Clark. And so thinkmattclark.com will become that house where ultimately somebody can go to and find out all the creative things and all the ventures that Matt Clark's involved with. And that's kind of my brand page. And so what we've been talking with a lot of people, Matt Titus, he's doing lots of dating interviews, and I don't even have all his stuff in my head, but ultimately there's several people that we're working with and have worked with to ultimately create, or about to work with, ultimately create a brand page and then help people understand all the things that they're involved with. So there's consistency that way. So the personality, the person, you can identify with, and then there are different ventures that they're involved with. Even though they may have Tweet Pages is a different look than Image Designs, in its own world, it's consistent. So does that make sense?
It does. I really wanted to chat with you about this, too, because there is a difference between corporate branding and branding an entrepreneur. Big, big difference, and I wanted to get into that with you.
Obviously, part of the ball game with personal branding is you. Your you know, potentially your photo or whatever, you know, some people create cartoonized avatars and those kind of things, but it's more about the personality, the person, and hopefully creating something that is on that relationship side, you know, within it. And I think that's where it gets away from the corporate world, the magazine look, brochure look of typical sites, the who, what, when, and where, which is still important. You still need some of that, those facts on there, but it's more about your story when you're personally branding on there, and where you came from and who you are and what you're doing and what you're involved with, and how you can help people or whatever product or service it may be. Ultimately, that's right. Probably some of the differences there.
Well, and there are a couple schools of thoughts on this. I may have a guest on that says, oh, no, you don't want to brand yourself personally. You want to go ahead and, you know, create a corporate point, which is where you're going to start from, or a business point of view maybe, and then just kind of work out from there. I personally don't agree with that, but some people are very passionate about that. My sense is, and my observation as an online entrepreneur, a serial online entrepreneur, if you will, is that in this know, like, and trust age, this, you know, relationship age, as you said, people want to know your story. They want to know who you are. They want to know ultimately what you can do for them, but they still want to know who you are. And so many of us don't just do one thing. I mean, we are not one-trick ponies. Back to the horse analogy. I don't even like horses. But here we are. You know, maybe I need coffee today. I don't know.
Maybe you really want a pony. That's really it. Maybe, you really wanted a pony all your life.
I can put it in my yard under the pecan trees.
That's right.
But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, if I were to try to brand myself, and I did this in the early days of my, you know, my entrepreneurism, I tried to brand myself as my web development company, Your Office on the Web. Well, that worked for a while, but then when we added on, you know, virtual assistant services, that was a whole new arena. And then I had to start branding under me, Denise Griffiths, because people were starting to understand who I was. Who knows who Your Office on the Web is? Half the time, nobody does. You know, you can type in virtual assistant these days and 1,000 people pop up. But they had started looking for me by name. So that forced me into branding under my own name. It's kind of a back, you know, I had to do some backstepping. But so many of us do multiple things. I mean, we don't just do one thing. We do, you know, a lot of different services or a lot of different, you know, projects. So we almost have to brand under our own name these days. What's your thought on that?
And, you know, we get this question all the time. Should I brand under my name or the business name? And I think ultimately you kind of look at, there's several factors. You know, obviously, is your name available as a website? Yeah. I couldn't get mattclark.com to save my life, and I've tried for years to grab it. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, came up with something creative to go, think Matt Clark, because that's what I want people to do, think Matt Clark, mm-hmm. when they have these needs. So ultimately, I think you have to look at, you know, the balance of creativity, the balance of what you're attempting to do. MattClark.com wouldn't work really well for Twitter backgrounds as opposed to tweet pages. I mean, you know, I think that the industry or the area that you're focusing in shapes a little bit what you're attempting to accomplish as well. So sometimes it's about processing and thinking through and brainstorming what area you're trying to focus on, and then you can kind of land on that. But it still doesn't take away, even though you may land with a corporate name or a website, it still doesn't take away the story factor. And the story factors, I think, was what is huge, because every company ultimately has their story, but we've neglected to communicate those in the past effectively.
Right.
And I think now people want to hear them. People desire to know exactly who you are and what you're about. To build, you know, ultimately that trust. And here's the reality. Tweet pages, hopefully, and believe that we may be hiring and we're going to be hiring out, we're going to do all kinds of things, and it may grow bigger than me, bigger than I ever anticipated, potentially. And ultimately, I have to make sure that the story and what we're trying to accomplish and how we're going to help people is forefront more than this, you know, potential giant that would be, well, that's just the big guys. Let's not go to them anymore. Let's go to the little guy. I want to make sure that we still have that handout in front of people saying, hi, my name is Matt. You know, I want to connect with you and help. What can I do? Kind of thing. So I think that's, you know, that's key. Whether you go with the corporate side or not, you have to make sure that that story, I believe, is still there within it.
I agree with you. In fact, one of the most popular books out right now is everybody knows who Zappos is. I can't tell you how many boxes of shoes I have in my closet hidden from my husband from Zappos. But the story that Tony Hsieh, the CEO of Zappos, his book is one of the most popular books on Amazon right now.
Right.
And he talks about the corporate culture and how Zappos came to be. Zappos, of course, is a mega, mega company. It's just a huge company, and he has a fascinating story. Grab this book, and people go, oh, well, I can do that, because the story is so compelling. It's so human. It's a story of how you just take your passion, your thoughts, your great ideas, you don't allow them to languish, and I'll get to that project later, and you just go do it. And he's a person just like everybody else, but he's willing to tell his story. And I think the name of the book, it's actually out on my coffee table, is Delivering Happiness, I think is the name of it. But you're right, that story is so, so important. Zappos is, of course, a corporation, but the story is, I think, one of their most important components, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and I ended up reading Truett Cathy's story of Chick-fil-A.
Right.
And just amazing background and history of how it came to be. And, of course, you know, who doesn't have a Chick-fil-A on their corner, just about?
Right.
So ultimately, you can see the giantness of them, but ultimately there's still that human factor and story that plays a part
that I think is
important and key. Which, you know, the other part of that is we get a lot of people that we'll talk to on the phone, and they will have joined a program. Now, there's tons of programs and things that you can buy into out there on the Internet, and some of them are tremendous, and some of them are, you know, are not so great, but ultimately there's a lot out there, and people in their panicness sometimes gravitate and say, I got to do this and buy and try and do this, whatever it may be, XYZ.
Yeah, I call it shiny object syndrome.
And ultimately sometimes it's out of desperation. Sometimes out of desperation, you know, even at what we did was kind of like, okay, I've got one contract left. I've got 7 months. I got to do something. You're desperate. You have, you know, like what Dave Ramsey says, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. So you just got to move forward or do it. But sometimes people do that at the expense of what their passionate or their strengths lie. And I've had many conversations where I've heard red flags in their conversation when it really wasn't the best program for them. Could they have possibly stuck through it? But ultimately, they may lose their focus and their energy because it's just not a passion of theirs, and they bought it off the shelf because they thought it's worked for somebody else. And not every business and not every program is cookie cutter. It's not add water and mix, ultimately. Now, many people say anybody can do this, and I do agree. But ultimately, if your heart's not in it, if you're not passionate about it, and even Joel Kahn speaks to this in his book Ka-Ching that he's got out. It sounds like I'm only reading Joel's books. I'm not. I have other ones, but ultimately I just picked that up, and he's talking about that very same thing. And I believe wholeheartedly in working in your strength and passion of what you want to accomplish, and that will catapult you even further in the business that you're about to start.
Absolutely. I can't even tell you how important I think that is.
Yeah, and we would just find so many people going, you know, I don't know, what should I do? I don't really like this. I'm thinking, wow, you shouldn't have bought this thing. But, you know, you can't initially say that. Some people we have. We said, okay, let's evaluate. What do you think? And I ask the right questions to pull out the right answers potentially for them to kind of and that's probably part of my ministry background that kicks in there. But ultimately it's really neat to see somebody unveil that and go, you know, you're right, or let's move it to a different area of focus, or here's how it can work. So I think that's some of the key pieces to starting
a business. Well, you have to do that. I had a conversation with a lady the other day. Bless her heart. She called my toll-free number 3 times over the weekend. She sent emails from 2 of my websites. She was just absolutely convinced because of what she was reading on the Internet that she needed to become a virtual assistant. And in both of her emails, she said, but I need an income yesterday. And I thought, well, I don't think you really know what virtual assistants industry is. So I picked up the phone and we chatted for probably about 30, 45 minutes. Come to find out, she just wanted to be a virtual assistant because she thought that was something she could do. Was it what she wanted to do? Absolutely not.
Right.
So we dug a little bit and we figured out what it is that she really likes doing. That's working locally with artists and, you know, people who are very, very creative. And she told me some of her skills. And I said, well, you're pointing in the wrong direction. You do not need to go to my university. You don't need to sign up for, you know, any kind of virtual assistant courses. You need to work to your passion. And there was this huge sigh of relief.
Absolutely.
Something different, because she would have been wretched and she wouldn't have been good at it because it wasn't what she was interested in. So sometimes you just have to talk people out of buying your products, which, you know, sounds counterproductive, but it's not.
That's the kind of business I think that needs to happen more every day, and that's what we do, and I applaud you for doing something like that. And ultimately, all the entrepreneurs out there need to make sure that they are, yes, times are tough, and we need to pay our mortgage, because for some reason that company sends me a bill every single month, the gall of that. But ultimately, I know I got to pay my bills, but if I'm really true to some integrity pieces and some character pieces, I ultimately can say, look, we're not the right piece for you.
Right.
And we've had to say that as well. You know, here's some other options and that you can look at. But I think that's huge.
I think as an entrepreneur, our goal is to help other people. It's really what we're passionate about. Whatever it is that we're offering or sharing, we're doing it because we're so happy about what we're doing. We want to help other people.
Right.
So, you know, selling somebody into a program or a process or a system that just is not a good fit for them, I can't do that. So let's talk really quickly. Go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick, Denise. Let me say something about that strength piece, because there's a really great book, and I'll just plug it real quick, Strength Finder 2.0. And you can actually go to the website, Strength Finder 2.0, or you can click on our affiliate link at tweetpages.com. We have a little affiliate link, but you don't have to. But you can go straight to strengthfinder20.com. I'm sorry?
Who is that by?
Yes, that's a great question. If I had it in front of me, it's not right in my desk right here. But ultimately, here's what happens. There's 34 themes that have been researched, and you read, like, first 30 pages, which I love because it's only 30 pages. Woohoo! You read the first 30 pages, and no more. You go to the back of the book. You open it up. You get the code. You take a test online. Now, there's tons of tests online, and I've done tons of them.
Wow.
Being a ministry, I've taken a lot of tests and personality tests and all that kind of stuff. This one really rocked my world. It shaped my marriage, my relationship with my wife, which is obviously my marriage. It's going to shape our son. It's shaped a lot of things tremendously. It's really shaping where I'm going next, to some degree. It's because it's only confirmed and verified some of the things that I thought of and we believed, you know, were there, but ultimately take the test and then you go and look at your top 5 strengths. And whenever I do get calls and they're starting to go, well, I'm not sure, I say, please go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to .com or the physical store or Borders. It's kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And grab this book, take the test, and I ultimately would say, if you're married, if you got a spouse, take it with your spouse. My wife and I sat up from 10:30 p.m. to 1 in the morning, laughing and crying about our strengths, reading each other's, going, "You you so do that. That's so you. And, you know, pointing fingers and then crying as to why, you know, we didn't understand things, but now it's helped. And really, I encourage my wife more because of this book. So, I just a plug for that. And I'm actually getting ready to, we're going to be putting some videos together on StrengthsFinder 2.0 to help people know what it's about on YouTube, and but that's to come in the future. But ultimately, it's a really great piece that I'd highly recommend, especially for entrepreneurs.
I just put it in the chat room, so if anybody needs it, the link is in the chat room.
Super. So what was your – sorry, I interrupted you earlier.
You know, we do this all the time. I don't know why we bother. We should just email each other. But I did want to tell people where they can find you. I've been putting it in the chat room, but this will get downloaded a lot later on and wind up in iTunes. So tell people where they can find you on the web.
Absolutely. Tweetpages.com obviously is where our social media designs are, and you can run over there. Under the custom tab gives you some pricing. We're going to be launching some new things, but ultimately tweetpages.com is there. Most days we have the live chat available. If I'm offline through our website, there's a live chat function. If I'm offline, you can always leave a message that emails me, and then I can answer your, you know, any questions. And if anybody's interested in logo branding and beyond, a little bit different pricing method, but imagedesigns.com, designs with an S at the end, but that's there as well. And then eventually thinkmagical.com will be up and running. We've got kind of a little placement holder there now with a goofy picture of me, but ultimately that's where we can find. But tweetpages.com for the social media piece, definitely head on over there and take a look at things.
Now, I know you had said that for an offer, you had an offer for my listeners for 10% on the custom order. Tell them how to do that.
Yes. And you know what? Let me make sure. I want to make sure I give the right code. I think I ended up, because I know we email back and forth. I made it for the code B as in Billy, T as in Tom, R as in Ronald, or Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
BTR. I don't know why I'm making up other names, but it actually really means something, Blog Talk Radio. Because ultimately I know I had emailed you and said, hey, is there a specific code you want? And then I ended up jumping in there and thinking something else, so I just created that. But okay. BTR, so when you purchase anything, and it will be activated. I think it's not activated yet. It's activated after, after we get done, I think. I can't remember what time exactly I set it for, but I'll make sure it's there. In the checkout, you just put that code in, and it will save you 10% for all of your listeners.
Now, what we did, so the BTR, so I'm writing that in the chat room.
Yep.
We are getting ready to go off of the radio. We'll still be streaming. We won't be streaming, but, it will be available for download in about an hour. What we did not get to chat about, and probably we need to maybe, make an appointment for another radio show, is the what we're up to, you and I, what we're up to together.
I know. We talked so much about me that I didn't even get to you, Denise.
Oh, it hurt. Well, let's just, give a little bit of a teaser, and then what I'll do is I'll get you back on the show again soon. We've only got about 90 seconds, so tell people what you and I are up to.
Well, yeah. Well,
our
one, no good. But
partners.
Ultimately, with tweet pages adding some things on, I'm not an HTML guru, and that's evident. I know enough to get myself in and out of danger. But ultimately, we're going to team up so that we can offer matching blog sites. So Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. And we've added the fan kit already, which you help with that as well, and we partner with that. But ultimately, a blog site so that you can do the hardcore stuff that you're really tremendous at, and then we can match it with some of the designs that I've already done because people are asking for it. And so we got to, again, answer the call. So that's what we're going to be partnering when being able to accomplish and punch out the door.
Right. Well, we'll be partnering with my company, Your Office on the Web. So we have a lot of great things in the works. So just kind of stay tuned. And Matt, can you come back at another time? I mean, I'm booked pretty solid through September, but I've got October, a little bit of October. Let's get on the phone later and chat and see if
Absolutely.
I can get you back on, because there's so much in the way of social media marketing, strategizing, just different things. I mean, one thing that I wanted to ask you about that we also didn't have time for was, some of the tools that you use and recommend. So I'd really like to get you back and delve into those. And
Absolutely.
Then give more information on our project as well.
Yeah, I know. So, whenever I would love to connect back again and talk about all that stuff and ponies, of course, because we know that you really desire a horse somewhere along the line. You missed out as a child, so, yeah, we can
definitely
do that.
I don't even know where that one came from. But, when your brain is working at 100 miles a minute and your mouth is only going 4, that's...
Well, I'm going to say that from now on. Hey, let's not reinvent the horse, okay?
Oh, God.
Denise,
you can't come back on my show because now I'm embarrassed.
It was perfect.
What do you mean? You were here by band. Thank you so much. I mean, you gave a lot of really good information about social media marketing, which, honestly, it's such a critical component of what we do these days. It's one thing to put up a blog and say, well, why am I not getting traffic? You do need to market yourself, and you do need to, have that accessibility with, Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and, I call them the holy three. You have at least of that going on.
Right.
So, next time you come back on, we'll kind of cover all of those different things, plus our project, plus the tools.
And I'll just plug the next time, which are some really great tools that we have found that I think will be valuable for lots of people to utilize. Absolutely.
And anytime we can give tips and advice, that's really what this show is all about. So, Matt, thank you so much for being here today. I will call you in a bit, and we'll get you set up again for October. I can't wait. And you've given some really valuable information to our listeners, and I know they appreciate it just as much as I do. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Matt Clark of Tweet Pages, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you.